Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Donald Trump to cut off funding to South Africa, claiming that certain classes of people are being treated very badly. US President Donald Trump said on Sunday, without citing evidence, that certain classes of people in South Africa were being treated badly and that he would cut off funding for the country until the matter is investigated. South Africa is confiscating land and treating certain classes of people very badly. That's what he said on his social media. The United States won't stand for it. We will act. Also, I will be cutting off all future funding to South Africa until a full investigation of this situation has been completed. It is unclear really what led to that post. The South African Embassy in Washington did not respond to a request for comment outside of regular business hours. I'm surprised they even work in regular business hours. Anyway, the United States obligated nearly $440 million US dollars of assistance to South Africa. That was in 2023, the most recent US government data showed. And of course, the US is under absolutely no obligation to assist South Africa. If South Africa wants to befriend Iran, Cuba, China, and Russia, unfriendly relationships with the United States, why should the United States be the one fitting the bill? Ramaphosa thinks that he can walk the tightrope, but not everybody is fooled. In fact, I would say that hardly anybody is fooled anymore. It's Monday, the 3rd of February 2025, the 5th of Shvat, 5785, day 486 of Operation Sword of Iron. And as you know, I am broadcasting live from Israel today and tomorrow as well here in Israel to celebrate my son's wedding. Very, very interesting to be here. I've been meeting with very, very interesting people and getting a sense of what it is like. Well, no coincidence, I'm sure, or maybe a complete coincidence, that no sooner that I had arrived that Netanyahu left. Is the country too small for the both of us? Well, I'm not sure. He left and he went off to the United States for what has been said is incredibly, incredibly important conversations to be had at this juncture. Well, we wanted to understand a little bit more about it. Joining us, as he often does, from the United States, John Day, U.S. Attorney at Law. John, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Of course, Howard. Good morning, and how are you? And congratulations, of course.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm well. It's always fascinating to observe Israel as at a time like this. You know, being here over the weekend when some of the hostages were released is just incredible. I find that people here are much more real than in the past, a little bit more vulnerability, which I'm not sure is a bad thing, but a difficult time. The emotional turmoil and the impact that this has had on a whole nation is not to be underestimated, not at all. Which also means that that Netanyahu's trip to the United States comes at an absolutely critical time as the future is determined. Give us a sense of what's happening.
Well, as you point out, absolutely critical. You have Trump, who has basically stated he wants the war to be over. He wants the ceasefire to continue. He does not want to be distracted. At least this is what his people are saying. He does not want to be distracted by a Middle Eastern war. He's trying to focus on China. He's trying to focus on immigration in the U.S. And he's rolling out all these different things. As you mentioned, the cutting off of aid to South Africa just hours ago. But in his mind, he wants there not to be a distraction from his perspective. And so it's going to be fascinating to see what he what the word is from Trump to Netanyahu about the continuation. Of course, they've got to restart the second phase of the negotiations now. But what is Trump's end game in the Middle East? He's trying to not have that be a distraction for him. So what is the message he's going to give on this visit to Netanyahu?
And how is it possible for him to have these conversations without countries like Saudi Arabia in the room? Or is this a staged thing where he has to get buy-in along the way?
I think the second part of that is accurate. I think he's trying to phase it in. You know, his ultimate goal is to restart the sort of the global or at least the regional discussions that would include Saudi Arabia. But at the same time, he wants to have a concerted approach to Iran with Netanyahu, and he wants to not lose the support in domestically of the groups, of the people, the supporters that he has. And so he is also walking this line. But I think at the end of the day, he really doesn't want to be embroiled in a Middle Eastern war, which may be putting him at odds with what Netanyahu sees as his endgame.
How significant is it, and a lot has been said here, that Netanyahu is the first foreign leader to be invited to the White House since Trump assumed office? How important is that really?
Actually, really very important. And Trump, as you know, symbolism, the way things play out, his place in history, of course, is something he's focusing on. But of course, he wants to show that, you know, that the U.S. is one of the greatest allies that Israel can have. And he wants to reestablish, or after the Biden years, he wants to make sure that bond is strengthened. So it's very significant that the first foreign visitor is Netanyahu. It means a lot to Trump too, but at the same time, he's got this message he wants to get across. And so that's why these next couple of days are going to be fascinating to see what the readout's going to be from these meetings.
We know that towards the end of Trump's last term, him and Netanyahu didn't have a great relationship. It almost fell apart. What is the current status?
I think it's promising. You know, Trump is the most transactional human being on the planet. And so he knows what he needs to get out of it. At the same time, he knows that a lot of the people who support him are also very rabid supporters of Netanyahu. So he's balancing that. But I think I think he wants that warm and friendly and fuzzy relationship to be reestablished, because it serves his interests in the end. And it's also much closer to his, you know, to his viewpoint. But again, you have to remember that he has this agenda, and at the top of it is not to get embroiled in a war in the Middle East. And is he going to be able to, you know, is Netanyahu going to be able to continue without U.S. support or with reduced U.S. support? I mean, that's going to be an interesting question.
In terms of the Palestinian state, moving Palestinians to other areas, is this part of a plan to change the world in a positive, or does this more align with what you're suggesting, which is, I just don't want this to be our biggest focus, we've got other issues to deal with?
Well, I think it's a step-by-step process for him. I mean, I think he probably knew this was a non-starter when he floated the idea to begin with, but I think he probably wants to be seen as, you know, people joke, but they say the thing Trump really wants out of this is a Nobel Peace Prize down the road. And whether that's true or not, that's certainly something that people ascribe to him. But I think he wants the Middle East to be not at the top of the radar for him. I mean, I think he feels like he's got to be dealing with China. And, you know, he's got these sideshows like invading Greenland and Panama and Canada and those things. But at the same time, he's also launched this massive tariff imposition that's sucking up a lot of the attention in the air here. So if he can get out of this meeting with Netanyahu with a firm and stern address or a position that he feels is going to benefit him and is not going to embroil him in further war, I mean, I think he's going to feel like that's a success.
What is fascinating is how he is taking on Mexico and Canada and South Africa. He is giving advice to the EU. He's really not staying away from international conflict at all.
No, he's not. And you know who else is not? South Africa's contribution to his kitchen cabinet, Elon Musk. I mean, the two of them have a very similar worldview. It's disruptive, based on disruption. It's based on shaking up of the established order. And, you know, what the end result is, who knows? But Trump is very, very good at launching these distractions. When he feels like something is not going his way, he's very brilliant at starting up a new bonfire in some other direction and pointing people in a different direction. And some of what's going on internationally, I think, is based on him wanting to take the focus away from things domestically. And but at the end of the day, it's disruption, disruption, disruption.
How much influence does somebody like Elon Musk have on Donald Trump?
That's a key question these days. But I think the general consensus is a lot. And I think Trump, you know, they've developed this relationship that's fascinating. And Trump is, I think, a big admirer of Musk for his, his meteoric rise. And I think Musk sees in Trump this avenue to increasing his power and gaining his influence. And so the two of them are on this sort of fantastic road trip together. It's like a buddy movie, you know, and where it ends, who knows? But right now, I think people believe that Musk has an extraordinary amount of influence on Trump, and Trump has given him a lot of power. But for example, recently, just last 2 days, Musk's people got access to the U.S. Treasury payment information. So they have access to how every payment in the U.S. government is made. And it's something that's never happened before. Basically, a private corporate citizen getting access to all this information. What he's going to do with it, who knows?
Wow. Very, very interesting. Are you concerned? 0618951019. What do you think about Elon Musk's influence over Donald Trump? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it good that he knows a lot about South Africa and that he has a bit of a negative feeling around it, although we have seen him meeting lately with Ramaphosa? Do you think that they'll be able to balance it, move South Africa in the right direction? Or is there something that is going to cost South Africa dearly? I'd love to hear from you on 0618951019. John, before I let you go, how important is South Africa in this global environment? Why would he have made comments about South Africa in of itself?
Yeah, I was wondering that myself when I read that this afternoon. And I don't know. The first thought I had was, is there a Musk card at play here? Is there something from there? Or is someone else is close to him? Has someone else brought up something? Or is there a long game here that we just don't know anything about? Because it was out of the blue. He hasn't been mentioning that before. Who brought his attention to it? And that's why I went back to Musk or someone else like that.
And of course, also the new South African ambassador to the United States, not a fan of Donald Trump at all, a very, very poor choice from South Africa's perspective, somebody who has compared Trump to Hitler. It's not smart. Perhaps that is part of the reason. John Day, thank you. As always, talking to us from the United States, bringing us that perspective.